Wake up, Coastal Carolina. Wake up. This is your CCTA Wake Up Call.
Produced by the Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, a nonprofit, nonpartisan organization dedicated to the preservation of the U.S. Constitution, free enterprise, and individual liberty.
Well, Happy New Year, and welcome to CCTA Wake Up Call. Hope you're looking forward to a prosperous new year here in 2017. A lot to look forward to this upcoming month. We have inauguration for our new president, and there's a lot of exciting things there going on with all the changes in the administration, all the staff picks. We've got a lot to look forward to. Want to tell you there's a little bit different kind of program going on today because it is the new year. A lot of the people are traveling and out of town, so rather than sitting down and trying to put together another show for this week, I've decided to go back and pull out something from last year. You know, CCTA, we do a regular monthly public meeting, and we bring in special guest speakers to speak on hot topics. Back in June, I believe it was, we brought in Dr. Rosemary Stein. You may remember that name. Dr. Stein ran for office here in North Carolina as superintendent of public instruction. She ran against Dr. June Atkinson. That was in the primaries. And even though she wasn't successful in her bid, she did bring a lot of good things to the table, and she agreed to come in and talk to us on one Tuesday night about her experience. So I thought that would be a good one to go back and share with you because it was an excellent presentation by Dr. Stein, and it's relevant to today's happenings and things that are going on. We've got a new superintendent of public instruction that was elected this term. It wasn't Dr. Stein. It was, however, Republican Mark Johnson, who defeated June Atkinson with 50.6% of the vote. And one thing about Dr. Rosemary Stein, her platform, she was anti-Common Core. And if you know anything about CCTA, we've been fighting that Common Core battle for quite some time, and we made a lot of inroads there and had some success in getting the name Common Core at least removed from state statute. And we were hopeful that this term we'd be able to get rid of Common Core altogether. However, our president-elect has announced that he was going to eliminate Common Core, do away with it. So we'll wait and see where he goes with that and how that works out. Mark Johnson, we're looking forward to working with him in the upcoming year as far as North Carolina education legislation goes. We'll keep an eye on what they're doing there. But anyway, I want to get back to our presentation with Dr. Rosemary Stein. Dr. Stein has been a practicing pediatrician for 23 years, and she's director of the International Family Clinic in Burlington, North Carolina. Been there for the past 16 years. Highly regarded expert in childhood development, she serves on the executive committee of the North Carolina Smart Start Board, which sets policy on child-related issues. Now, Dr. Stein started the first of its kind Common Childhood Problems Clinic to educate parents having behavior problems with their children. In her latest book, Who Needs a Village? It's a Mom's Thing, Dr. Stein offers her expert advice on raising sturdy, success-bound children in today's chaotic world. She also co-authored with her husband, Dr. David Stein, the book Common Sense 2, An American Parenting Revolution. Now, they were trying to tell parents about a time-tested method of parenting that is superior to the one currently being used in America. And today, Dr. Stein's going to share that message with us. About proper parenting education being the focus of the International Family Clinic for the past 3 years. So please sit back and enjoy listening to Dr. Rosemary Stein.
So going back to our practice in Alamance County. So now we have 5,000 patients or so. We have about, depending on the month and how well they're doing, we have between 12 and 14 employees. And we have between 3 and 4 doctors in a regular basis. And so when you have that kind of experience and you see that many children, we have usually between 60 and 70 patients come through our doors on a regular day. You get to observe a lot. You get to see your patients grow up. You get to see what works, what doesn't work. And I started sort of putting all of this together and speaking with Dave about why is it that our kids are doing so poorly. You see, when I was in residency, we could see that children were perhaps not perfection, but we didn't have much ADHD. It really was a new diagnosis. Same thing as autism. It's not that it was a new diagnosis, but it was very rare. And as the years went by, we realized that the rates of ADHD, learning disorders, dyslexia, autism, had been astronomically increasing. I said, what's going on? I mean, any genetic disorder would have been picked up. Could there be something in our environment that's leading our children to do this? And that's where we really started sort of diving in deep into what was the pandemic in our society that was leading for our children to have such difficulties. Because our children are our greatest job, our greatest treasure, and also those who carry the ones who will carry on the job that we do and everything that we reflect into the next generation. If we're doing a poor job with our children, our society will fail. It will only take a generation or two from now, if even that, for America to have failed, unless we stop in our tracks and realize how important this is. And I do realize that most of my audience today, you are all incredibly young, but probably have not of childbearing years anymore. So that I have realized that over the last few months, that most of my audience is of a particular age where I'm not talking directly to you. I'm talking to you to probably get to your children and your grandchildren. And I'd like you to think about that, because we need to save America, and it's almost coming from the top down. We need to get to that the root, the ground, and be able to come with the message that I'm going to present to you. So it has been my conclusion that it's the mom's job. This is why America is doing so poorly. We have separated ourselves from the fundamental task of being a mom and how important that job is. If we don't like our society as we see it today, we have ourselves, women, to bear the brunt, the fault of that, because women are society makers. We are the builders of people. And so each child should be built like a building. It is not an easy process. And today we think that we grow them like weeds, that you just add water and they grow up. And there cannot be anything that's more false than that. And a strong foundation and understanding the blueprint that God created for building a child is what makes a child be more successful than others. And so because of that, it is my conclusion, my observation, that the job of the mom is the most important one, not only in the family in bringing up the children, but also in building society. So to give you an example of a person builder that did a fantastic job with very little resources, we have Nellie Reagan. And of course, she didn't know that she was building the future president of the United States, but she set herself with the job in front of her and it took it very seriously. They had very little resources. The dad was an alcoholic, but she decided that she was going to bring them up in the admonition and the love of the Lord. And so she would take them to church and she would have them sort of hand out whatever they had available to give to the parishioners and people that were homeless. But she also carried forth a legacy of being a strong person, even from the time that he was very young. You see, Ronald Reagan was coming home one day, and he looked out, and Nellie Reagan looked out the window to see her son approaching the house, and realized that there were two boys running right behind Ronald Reagan. And she took that situation in, realized that those two boys were bullies. She came right to the door and told Ronald, "That you have to go back out there, because you cannot come back into the house until you deal with your problems." And so I'm sure that Ronald Reagan looked over at Mom and said, "Really?" And she closed the door on him. This is a true story. And she, imagine ourselves doing this today. They would probably call it DSS. So she closed the door on him, and she went over to the kitchen and probably looked out the kitchen. Now, this is my thing. She looked out the kitchen window. And he went over and dealt with the bullies, and they scuffed each other up. And he came back to the door and knocked on the door and said, "Mom, can I come in now?" And she took him in. And can you imagine having that foresight of understanding that she was preparing her child to be able to face the biggest bullies in the world, in the Russians? And that's the kind of moms that we need in America today.
All right, we need to take a break right here to hear from our sponsors, and we'll be back with the rest of Dr. Rosemary Stein right after this.
Bite Me Firearms, crazy name for an outstanding gun shop. Bite Me Firearms carries a variety of guns. They handle transfers, have one-day on-site concealed carry training, do AR customization, and will put their gun prices against anyone within 50 miles. Bite Me Firearms, Old Cherry Point Road, New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Y'all ready for this?
The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free weekly newspaper throughout eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers, and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Since 1952, the North Carolina Fisheries Association has been working to ensure access for fishermen and consumers to enjoy fresh local seafood. The North Carolina Fisheries Association is for fair, science-based fisheries management for commercial and recreational fishermen. If you agree with this philosophy, become a member. For more information, log on to ncfish.org. For fresh North Carolina seafood, there's no better place than B&J Seafood, Highway 70 East in New Bern.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call as we continue to listen to Dr. Rosemary Stein.
Our children need to be sturdy individuals again, and that's what we've lost. We've lost our resilience. We've lost our ability to foresee into the future and understand we are building people. We're not just building widgets. So what is it that we're not doing today? We're not putting the values of ourselves, our heritage, our faith onto our children. See, our children are supposed to be sort of a bit of a mirror, maybe a brass kind of reflection of who we are. We're not imprinting ourselves on our children anymore. We think that they should learn this sort of by osmosis in a passive way. And parenting was never meant to be passive. It was meant to be mostly active and then passive at the same time. And so this new parenting method that we have, where we let children learn things experientially, is really what has gotten us to where we are today. And I'll tell you who started this. This was another pediatrician by the name of Benjamin Spock. So in the destination that we have today, which was started by Dr. Spock, the destination of most moms when she has a child is the relationship destination. In other words, the child is born and the mom says, I want to have a good relationship with my child. But anybody knows that if your destination is having a relationship with the child will grow large in ego and self-esteem because they consider themselves to be the center of the universe. And so you keep on sort of feeding this, we'll call him a little monster, and I've seen them. They're in my clinics. I can actually call them little monsters. I do love them, but you keep on feeding this little person, and he becomes or she becomes very, very self-serving. And that's what we have today, a society of self-serving adults, because these little terrorists have now grown to be rather large ones sometimes. But before we started on this path of relationship destination, we had another destination. It was the good citizen or the good Christian destination. And that's a destination that was in God's blueprint, where we understood, we foresaw as we were bringing up this child, that this child has a destination, a plan to fulfill. And so we're not just raising him up so that I get along with you. I am raising you up, and whether you get along with me or not is inconsequential, to fulfill a task that your Creator has given you. And so that's where the name of the book came in, because I obviously am sort of adamant about it. It does not take a village, and who really are these village people that are supposed to be raising our children anyway? And what it really does take is a set of parents. And I talk a lot about the mom, but obviously the mom in a relation, a loving relationship with the dad is obviously the optimal situation for the child to grow in. And this new village, which is really the state or society today, is built out of absorbing the lessons and the morality of the state. And so that's why these kids are sort of devoid of morality, because we're growing them up to be that way.
Okay, we're going to pause right here for another quick word from our sponsors. And please visit our sponsors and support them, because they are the reason CCTA is on the air today. And if you're interested in sponsoring the show, please contact us. Go to our webpage, cctaxpayers.com. Click on the contact form and let us know you'd like to be a sponsor of CCTA. Well, we'll be right back with Dr. Rosemary Stein in just a moment.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine Alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next S&D Gun and Knife Show will be at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville on Saturday, December 31st and Sunday, January 1st. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is December 31st and January 1st at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville.
Have you got a topic you'd like to hear discussed on CCTA Wake Up Call? Well, then contact us at cctaxpayers.com or email hal@cctaxpayers.com. That's Hal, H-A-L, at cctaxpayers.com. We're a conservative talk radio show, but we value your opinion and would love to have you join us. Again, contact hal@cctaxpayers.com. Wow.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
So the village, the society, is raising up the children in their morality, which is a relativist morality and a lack of respect for women. And so if you think about it, we are raising our own children to not respect us. I see this every day. And somebody posted a picture, a clip on Facebook of a little boy, and he can't be more than two or three, and he's sitting there, and his mom is very young, and the little boy keeps on hitting the mom and pulling the hair, and it's done in gesture, as if this little kid is actually being cute or funny, but I see this every day. I see these little boys who were taught from the time that they're knee high not to have respect for women, and that is what we're raising today. And can you be surprised when these little boys who hit their moms grow up to be men who beat up their wives or beat up women because that's the way that you're supposed to conduct yourself? But that is what we're doing today. And so one of the things that really bothers us as conservatives is that these kids that are growing up have an idea that the equality should not be in the opportunity, but the equality should be in that of outcome. It doesn't matter what you've done and how hard you've worked, we should all have the same. And that's really what the socialists are trying to drive home to our children today. And so these are now the people who are raising our children, so the so-called secondary guardians. And if you don't think that these are actually more the primary guardians, and we are just the babysitters at this point. But if you don't believe it, do something that society thinks is wrong to do to our children. Try to give them consequences or spank a child, and you will see who the real guardians of the child are. But these are the people that are raising our children from early ages up until the time that they're done with their secondary education today. And these are the experts that are there to tell us how we should be raising our children. And I'll give you a quick example. But in pediatrics today, it is a well thought out idea among just about all pediatricians that pediatricians should give their growing adolescents a talking to when they're 13. And you may have had this experience, or your children tell you this experience, but at 13, you will be very nicely told to step out of the room because it's time to speak to the child without the parent there. And the child will be asked whether they've had sex, whether they thought of sex, whether they want to have bisexual sex or homosexual sex, and what did they think about it, and have they worn condoms, and have they thought about how they're going to perform that sex, and if there's any possibilities of that happening, you know that you can confide in me, right? And I'm not making this up. This is the way that a pediatrician will conduct themselves. Because what is that really? It's sort of demeaning the voice of the mom and all that the mom is perhaps trying to imprint on her child. And the child is left with the thought that mom doesn't know anymore, but this person who is the expert in healthcare has told me what I can do. And so that message will stay with that child forever. But this is what we're growing up. And so what does this all come down to is that the last 50 or 60 years has been a steady deterioration of one of the most important bonds or glues in society, which is the maternal-child bond. And it was, I believe that there were some rooms where this was talked about, and they came out with some rather great plans. And while we have nothing except running out and putting out fires, and we have to really get much, much more aggressive with what we're doing. But when LBJ decided that he was going to start a very famous program called Head Start, and you probably remember that I sit on the Smart Start board, which is very similar to what Head Start does, but on a statewide basis. So when Head Start was started, it was to simulate the appearance or the experience of doing well for underprivileged children. And the Catholic League thought taking children out of their homes when they're 3 or 4 or 5 is not a good idea. That will break down the maternal-child bond. And so the Catholic League was assured that surely that won't not happen. And here we are after the experiment, and we know that, in fact, it has deteriorated the maternal-child bond. But one thing that if you want to look up about Head Start, and even if you look up a lot of the Smart Start resources, so you will see that the children that are in those programs, against anything that the literature tries to tell you and the research tries to tell you, they do not fare any better. For all of the money, for the $15,000 to $20,000 per child that is put into them, they do not fare any better. They do not read any quicker or better by the time that they're in third grade. So all of the advances, the so-called advances that have been made, has been erased by the time they get into third grade. So, see that name? He's from New Bern. John Roseman is a good friend of ours, and so a few years ago I attended his 2-day conference, which I would highly recommend, and he was the one who really turned my head around to understanding what it is that is the huge difference between our children today and our children, let's say 40, 50 years ago, when some of us were growing up. And it's really in the way that we parent them. America used to parent, and this is the blueprint of parenting, in the parent-centric method. Today, we are parenting in a child-centric method. So, once again, the child is born, you put him in the center of the home. So, you buy him everything under the sun. You make pink rooms and blue rooms and all, you know, the house gets topsy-turvy today when a child is born, doesn't it? And it's really cute in many ways, and it's, you know, but is it good at the end? Is it good for the child? Because this is what's important. Is what we're doing good for our mental health and how we're going to raise this child? That's exactly what we're doing, is we're putting the child into the center, and all he gets to see are these people who just keep on going around that solar system. So he is the center of the universe. And it was never meant to be that way, and it didn't used to be that way 50, 60 years ago. In fact, the parents were the sun that the child revolved around. And we understood that first year, the parent, the mother specifically, had to sort of give up her life because she had to be the nurturer of this child. But little by little, the orbit got bigger and bigger, until at the age of somewhere between 15 and maybe some, in some families, 18, that the child was ready to go out of the parent's orbit and be able to live on this by themselves. That's not the way that we do it anymore. So let me remind us of what it used to be like 50 years ago. Children used to sleep through the night. By the time they were 6 to 8 weeks of age, the child was six to eight weeks of age. Children were potty trained, and this is actually, some people have corrected me on my slide in a second, the potty trained one, because a lot of great grandparents and great grandparents remember at the time that potty training was done between 12 and 18 months of age. There were no passies in any children that were walking around. Nobody was walking around with a bottle and drinking it, because once you're sitting up and walking, it was not permitted for a child to be bottle fed anymore. Children, obviously, when they were even 2 and 3 year olds, were not permitted to be entertained at church, because that was not the reason that church was to be. And even carrying coloring books and books was prohibited if you were going to church. And here's the, as this goes on, children didn't go to school when they were 5 years old or 4 years old or 3 years old. They went to school when they were in first grade. Children went to school, and most of them did not know how to read. Most of them may not even have recognized letters of the alphabet. But by the end of first grade, they were able to read, and their reading was much more excellent, and they could comprehend much better than our third graders in private schools do today. So either we are in the middle of a de-evolution, or there is something very wrong with what we're doing.
You're listening to CCTA Wake Up Call right here on The Talk Station, FM 107.1 WTKF Atlantic. CCTA Wake Up Call is a production of Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association, and you can join us here every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. and every Sunday evening at 8 p.m. for the best in conservative talk radio in Eastern North Carolina. That's CCTA Wake Up Call.
Y'all ready for this? The County Compass is a rapidly growing, free, weekly newspaper throughout Eastern North Carolina. At the County Compass, we believe small business is the future of our great nation. Many small business owners have discovered that an ad in the County Compass each week is the most effective, the most affordable way to reach thousands of readers from all walks of life. At the County Compass, we focus entirely on local and regional news, coverage of important issues that directly affect your life. At the County Compass, we love our readers and we love our advertisers. This Thursday and every Thursday at more than 750 distribution points throughout Eastern North Carolina, pick up your free copy of the County Compass newspaper.
As a strong advocate of Second Amendment rights, CCTA is proud to be involved with S&D Gun and Knife Shows. The next S&D Gun and Knife Show will be at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville on Saturday, December 31st and Sunday, January 1st. Buy, sell, and trade with Eastern North Carolina's best dealers and enjoy the most competitive prices in the state. Most gun enthusiasts and collectors agree S&D Gun and Knife Shows are the place to be. The next show is December 31st and January 1st at the American Legion Building in Jacksonville. Bite Me Firearms, crazy name for an outstanding gun shop. Bite Me Firearms carries a variety of guns. They handle transfers, have one-day on-site concealed carry training, do AR customization, and will put their gun prices against anyone within 50 miles. Bite Me Firearms, Old Cherry Point Road, New Bern. For news, commentary, and a different perspective, check out rightwinggranny.com. Hey, Granny's got it going on. See for yourself. Go to rightwinggranny.com.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call, the place where patriots come to talk.
Thanks for staying with us as we now resume our presentation given by Dr. Rosemary Stein.
So because we've put the child in the center of a home and we're getting our cues from the child instead of understanding the developmental stages that the child has, we are delaying the child's development. We're pushing it back, just constantly pushing back. Oh, he's not ready to potty train yet. Oh, how come she still has a passy and she's three? Well, she's not ready to give it up yet. But by Christmas, we told her that we would give her a stuffed animal or a doll, and she's going to throw it in the trash. So we're constantly looking for signs for the child to tell us that they're ready for the next stage of development and instead of going by God's blueprint. And so what we have at the end is a child who's not ready to go to school, not ready to obey teachers or parents. And so what we have today is 1 in 7 of our children have been diagnosed with ADHD. And by the way, that is one of the highest rates in the world. And North Carolina sits right there among the top 5 states with ADHD rates. And very similar to that, the percentage of children on stimulants mirrors the number of children on that have been diagnosed with ADHD. This diagnosis, by the way, is coming from the teachers in our schools, and I'm not vilifying the teachers. It's only because it's being passed on, and there is a certain quota of children that they have to identify so that they can do well. But by the time a child is 18 in the United States, 1 out of 10 has been admitted to a psychiatric unit for major mental illness. And our adolescents have problems with their basic reading and their math. And I like to say, if you don't believe that, just go to the McDonald's, hand them a 20, and have the bill be $8.77, and watch them look at you. And you have to actually tell them how much to give you back in change. And we've gone from, when I was a child growing up in New York City, we were number one in the world with our test scores and our college acceptance rates. We are now number 22 out of 23 industrialized nations. When you're growing up a child, through experiences, through education, what you're doing is you're you're forming brain tissue. You're forming neurodevelopmental pathways. This is obviously not new. And so what we're doing is when we're delaying that, we're changing the way the brain works. We're changing the way that the connections are supposed to connect. So at the end, we're changing the fundamentals of this person. And what we have now, and if you'll see it every time, and you're wondering, why are these kids so immature? Keep delaying, 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 and what we actually have is a 12-year-old in the body of an 18-year-old, and they're not ready to face the world, and they're actually neurologically delayed. And so some myths were started to make us go down this path. Children know what to eat. So now we have something that we've never seen before in history, picky eaters. It's a diagnosis, picky eaters. We've heard many times the word no, it's bad for a child's self-esteem. So kids will run around my waiting area and bop into the walls and then start crying. And you never hear a peep from the parent. It's amazing. And then, well, what was that word? Self-esteem. It's bad for their self-esteem. When was that important to our parents? Oh, don't harm his self-esteem. My mom didn't really care about that. But we've been hung up on this word. What we really mean is self-confidence, resilience, not self-esteeming myself or being narcissistic or thinking of myself before others. I mean, I think we've gotten that golden rule sort of on its head. Appreciate or do unto your neighbor as you would have done to you. It doesn't mean appreciate myself as I do my neighbor. It was understood that I'm going to take care of myself. But you make sure that you take care of your neighbor as you would yourself. But we turn the golden rule upside down. We're supposed to esteem ourselves. So here it is, the synonyms for self-esteem. I did look them up. Actually, even the Merriam-Webster, which is very liberal these days, had this correct definition of self-esteem. So what we're actually looking for is, like I said, self-confidence. But because of this new self-esteem and the children being put into the center of the universe, now we have children who, because they think that the world revolves around them, and I can see that all the time. You take the child and they put them in my clinic, and I walk into the clinic and the child is running around, and I say, stop. You'll stop for a moment, kind of look up and say, wow, that's something I've never seen before. An authoritative adult. And it's because they do not have that experience in their background. And so they'll start trying to go back to what they know best, which is all adults will stop in their tracks because I am the center of the universe. And that's how they grow up. And unless you stop that, it's a very dangerous track for children to continue to go down. And they learn not to have respect for adults. They learn, have you seen these kids today? Come here, come here, come here, come here, come here, come here. That child, yeah, we see them at the Golden Corral, at all the steakhouses, and the Chick-fil-A. So as we go on, the child becomes a school age. They obviously are not able to sit still. They're not able to learn at school. Well, they're supposed to be the center of the universe. Now I have 20 other center of the universes all together in one room. And which one of us is more important? So they sort of, they're all competing for being the center of the universe, and universes don't usually work that way. And so here's the adolescent. This is so sad to me. I mean, I see these kids, and other people will say, well, they're poorly behaved. Look at him. He's a fresh mouth. My heart just has this great pity for these kids because they're bound to be very unhappy adults. They fall apart at everything. If they don't get the grade that they thought that they deserved in school, they have temper tantrums, they have breakdowns, they have mental health issues, they easily will have just horrible outcomes where they yell and scream and they can't cope with life. They're not ready for life when they have to go to college. And obviously that's why we have these terrible outcomes of suicide, of shootings, of aggressive behavior in our colleges and our schools. So what is the real goal? I mean, we're raising this very important structure of a person. It's to build a self, a resilient, a self-confident person, which has no shortcuts. It has to be built like a building from the ground up. And so that's where we go to the parent-centric method, and that's why the parent is the most important unit for that child's development.
Okay, this looks like a good place to pause for break to hear from our sponsors. And when we come back, we'll listen to the rest of Dr. Rosemary Stein's presentation.
Would you like to improve your overall health without the use of prescription drugs? Is stress causing you health concerns? Do you want more energy? We hope that you would like to experience optimum health the rest of your life. We offer a free nutritional consultation to the listeners of this radio program. Call the office of Gladys Sussell, wellness educator and nutritional consultant, at 252-728-2118 to make an appointment to start your journey to optimum health.
Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend features handmade Italian dishes, lasagna, spaghetti, fettuccine Alfredo, stromboli, calzone, and many more. Panicelli's uses only the freshest ingredients, and they have fantastic New York-style pizza in four sizes or by the slice. Panicelli's Pizzeria also has great salads and subs. Panicelli's is easy to find. Just head to River Bend and Panicelli's will be at 40 Shoreline Drive. For authentic Italian food at an affordable price, head to Panicelli's Pizzeria in River Bend.
Just who are these people doing this CCTA program? They're people like you, a photographer, someone that ran their own business, someone retired from the military. Just people in the community that love this country and have a desire to do their part to lower taxes and shrink government, to protect individual liberty, and to preserve the U.S. Constitution and free enterprise system. We welcome you to come out to a meeting. If you like what you see and hear, there's a place where you can contribute to the cause. To learn more, go to cctaxpayers.com. That's cctaxpayers.com. The group meets every third Tuesday at Stanley Hall Ballroom in downtown New Bern to enjoy a fantastic speaker and report on CCTA activity since the last meeting. If you've been disappointed with rising taxes and government intrusion, don't just complain. Join Coastal Carolina Taxpayers Association and make your voice heard.
Welcome back to CCTA Wake Up Call. Good to be with you this morning. Hope you're enjoying the program so far. Again, we're listening to Dr. Rosemary Stein. She's a pediatrician and authority on child behavior. So without further delay, let's continue with the presentation from Dr. Rosemary Stein.
So 60, 70 years ago, and let's think about the generation of parents that raised the World War II soldiers and the ladies that also went to help our soldiers, an incredible generation of people. But that was because they were using that parent-centric method, and they had instilled into their children the values and the heritage, the faith that they had brought with them. And that is what we're missing today. And that track record that they had of raising up successful individuals had been there for centuries, over, I'd like to say, much more than 2,000 years, because it came from the book of Proverbs. So the book of Proverbs told us about how to raise up our children. You raise them up in the way, you train them in the way he should go, and when he's grown, he shall not depart from it. So you see, it wasn't just talking about faith. It's talking about you put into your child what you feel that you need to put into that child that will stay with him. They may stray for a while, but he will come back home to what you put to the it's what you put into that child. And here's a very scary thought, but Islamic children are taught this. That is why they can cite the Quran from the time that they're very young. That's why they have great difficulty in leaving that kind of background, that kind of culture that Islam is in, because they know that they have to teach their children very young these precepts for them to stay in there. And we have lost that concept. So if we don't want to wear the funny little bun things, we don't have to, but we sort of figuratively, spiritually, have to be like the queen or the princess in our home. And understand that we have to take our country back, our home back, and we have to act like we're the, I like to call it, M-I-C, the mom in charge. And so that's really what the secret is that the moms have an incredible amount of power. And if you buy my book, it'll talk about, I'll constantly bring up what an amazing power moms have. But they have to have this right sort of appearance, that right kind of demeanor for the children to see that. And today, well, we have moms who are breaking apart, and they fall, they themselves are the product of this kind of parenting. And so we have to go back to being that sort of self-confident. If you don't look that way, that's okay. You can practice it. And even Carrie Fisher was not really Princess Leia. So that she had to play that part. And we, as moms, have to play the part of being the MIC in our homes and being able to look like we know what we're doing when sometimes we don't really know. A couple of admonitions. One is our society has gotten into going down the rabbit hole with our children. So our kids tell us absolutely ridiculous things, which children are supposed to tell us. Like, I want to step in front of, this is true, I want to step in front of a train. What does the mom do? She brings him into the clinic and says he has mental health issues. What does my doctor do? My doctor says he has mental health issues, so we're going to send him to the psychiatrist. What does the psychiatrist do? The psychiatrist, for this two-year-old, prescribed Risperdal. A rabbit hole after a rabbit hole after a rabbit hole. Same thing is what's going on in our children that are maybe for a little while confused about gender issues. Rabbit hole after rabbit hole. When we were children, our parent would tell us, don't say dumb stuff. And we'd be like, oh, okay. And we go away. So we have to get back to understanding that we are the experts of our children, and the so-called experts are no longer experts. I heard somebody tell my daughter that that her calling her ma'am makes us feel old, and it does, but manners are not for us. Manners are for our children and for them to understand their place in the world. And we're not raising up children who understand their place in the world. We have to get back to that art. And so if any of you know my family, my aunt was the matriarch of the Fernandez Morel family about 50 some years ago. And she came from the Dominican Republic legally and worked very hard. But I still run things by her, and she was a single mom who came here with not more than $250 in her pocket. She brought over her young son and educated him, and I have a great admiration for my Aunt Peggy. So when I was about to embark on this path of perhaps going around the country and speaking to moms and dads, grandparents, and whoever would hear me about the importance of raising up our children, I went back to my Aunt Peggy and asked her, what do you think? And she said, absolutely. Compared to being a doctor, that this is primary. That this is the most important thing that you can do. This should be your mission in life. And she told me one important thing to pass on to our daughters, which is parenting is full time. And that doesn't even mean that parenting, that you can't work full time. She said, I worked full time and I was a parent full time. And I made sure it got done right. And I would have given up my job on a whim if I knew that I wasn't getting my job done in parenting, because that was my most important job. I work to make sure that that is taken care of, not the opposite. And here's my Aunt Peggy. She just survived being diagnosed with cancer last year, and she went through about 9 months of chemotherapy, and she's a very, very resilient woman. And so the conclusion is that when we start raising our children with the time-tested, God-given blueprint of parent-centric parenting, it will take time. We have to rebuild this, but we will save America again.
Dr. Stein will take some questions, but please raise your hand, wait for me to get to you with the microphone, and please state your name.
Okay, it's Glenn Fink, and I know you talked about the diagnosis of ADHD more prevalent, and so my question is, do you think it really is, or it's being diagnosed more aggressively, and if it is it about that child-centric movement, how that fits?
There's no question in my mind that some children are just are wired very differently, but also we are not a male tolerant society anymore. Boys are diagnosed with ADHD much more frequently than girls are, and it's by a female teacher. So that we don't understand that boys turn and run around while girls can sit in their seats much more easily, because we're not willing to accept that there are gender differences between girls and boys. And so that's one of the things. But the other thing is, yes, because of that neurodevelopmental a sequence that we're not putting our children through. So they're really immature. So if you see them at 4 and 5 and 6, they're really 2 and 3 year olds. They've just barely been potty trained. And so how are we expecting them to sit in their chairs and be able to focus and pay attention when they are wiggling in their chairs? Maybe, you know, maybe they're just wiggling, or maybe they need to go to the bathroom. But the last thing is that because we're using a very inferior method of teaching our children how to read, we're using sight words instead of phonetically teaching them how to read, and it's always been time-tested that phonetic reading is the best, that they don't know how to read. They're bored. And usually the kids who have ADHD are the smarter kids. So they're the ones who have to let that energy out by being rambunctious, running around. They look unfocused. If you are able to get them to sit down and teach them self-control and focus. And I work a lot with the mom and teaching the child self-control and focus. But then sitting down and going through a reading primer, guess what happens? The ADHD mysteriously disappears. But let me tell you one more fact, is that our ADHD rate, I think across the country, somewhere between 10 and 11%. France is 0.5. I don't like the French beating us that badly in anything. But the reason that happens is because when the parent thinks that their children have ADHD, they have counselors that goes over the home environment and will tell them, these are the things that you can do in your home so that you structure your environment better for your child. And they give them about 2 to 3 months, and then they come back to the counselor or the therapist. And in a great majority of them, obviously, they come back and they say the symptoms have improved. So what you really have improved is the parent, not the child. And so that's what I do in the clinic, is where I'm a mom coach half the time, and I'm not really doing pediatrics, although I'm using my pediatric experience in it. But what I'm really doing is I'm building back the mom, because the mom, like I said, is the best tool in being able to cure ADHD.
Hal James, I'm wondering if in your role there, didn't you say you were on the Head Start board, some Smart Start board, where you have any luck teaching them a parent-centric rearing of children?
Thank you for that question. Very, very good question. Well, I have a good advocate now in the Smart Start board in the chair, and she has decided that she's going to change the focus of Smart Start for the next maybe decade or so, from being one that's centric on child care and daycare and fixing up the daycares, to focusing on the child and the parents, and giving the educational material to the parent to be able to bring up our children the way that that was time-tested and true. So that we're seeing a little bit, it's not a miraculous difference, but we're changing our sort of our focus and our goal in what we're doing in Smart Start. So I'm hoping that in the next 4 or 5 years we'll start to see a difference. So that doesn't mean that now they're all conservatives. But I'm trying to use what I know, and always talking in a language that they understand, which is we're looking for the best outcomes. And our outcomes are our children. They're not our daycares. if any of you are associated with the local Smart Start, I would love to be able to talk to those groups, because this is very helpful. It's also obviously helpful not only to school teachers, but also to our daycare programs, and being able to teach them how to deal with the children that they see that are problematic. Because we knew growing up that there were certain teachers that just had it. They just knew how to present themselves as that teacher that was not your buddy. You had great respect for her. You had a little bit of fear of her. And that was usually the teacher that did best, and you remember the most. And if I could just be able to get to some of those teachers or daycare providers, we would be able, and that's the thing, we would be able to put the child back on track even when that mother or father is a little bit absent. And that's the role that I see in today's society for daycare. Not every parent is willing to step up to this role that I would like them to. But we in society need to be the people who are ready to step up, whether in our Sunday schools or daycares, to step up and be that parent role, because children need to have experience with authority, and our children today do not. And so we can train others to be able to be that voice of authority that children do need.
Well, folks, that concludes our presentation by Dr. Rosemary Stein. I hope you found it as informative and as helpful as I did. And remember, we have presentations like this every month, third Tuesday of the month, at Stanley Hall Ballroom, downtown New Bern, free and open to the public. I mentioned that our incoming president had promised to try to get rid of Common Core. Well, listen to this brief message, and let's talk some more about that.
On the campaign trail, President-elect Donald Trump made big promises about cutting Common Core.
So Common Core is a total disaster. We can't let it continue.
But how much authority does a president actually have to dismantle the national education standards? Well, answering that question starts with understanding what Common Core actually is. Back in 2009, politicians, educators, and special interest groups came together to design more rigorous standards that outline what students should be able to know and do at each grade level. The upside? Proponents said states could now more easily compare student achievement levels, and if some were being left behind, they'd know. The downside, however, is that teachers, parents, and students complain that the standards unnecessarily complicated simple arithmetic, they created a one-size-fits-all approach to education, and that they generally took the fun out of learning. The federal government didn't legally force states to use Common Core, but by telling them, if you adopt these Common Core standards, we'll give you more education money, the Obama administration made it really hard to say no. Initially, 46 states and the District of Columbia signed on. But fast forward to today, implementation of Common Core is no longer tied to these federal education funds, and one by one, states have slowly dropped out. Some may suggest that the incoming administration could flip the script and encourage states to get rid of the academic standards by following Obama's lead and telling them if you use the Common Core standards, your state will not be eligible for certain federal education funds. But the reality of that happening is unlikely, because conservatives would be doing exactly what they claim to be fighting against, and that is to get the federal government out of our children's education. Instead, what's more likely to happen is that Trump and his new education secretary, Betsy DeVos, will encourage states to get rid of the national standards on their own by continuing to say things like, I am not a supporter, period. And we're going to end Common Core. We're going to have education an absolute priority. From there, it's really up to governors and state lawmakers to decide the future fate of Common Core.
Well, there you go, folks. As you can see, the fight on Common Core is not over yet, and we have no idea exactly how President Trump will handle the issue. But we do know we cannot give up the fight. We need to remove Common Core standards from North Carolina's education system. So if you agree with that, please help CCTA. Come to some of our meetings. Get involved with the effort. Talk to your legislatures. Let them know how you feel. Because it's time for Common Core to be done and over with, so we can move on to educating our children and eliminating the problems that Common Core have caused. A lot of behavioral problems with students because of the effects of all the testing and requirements that Common Core placed on them. Well, folks, that's all the time we have for today's show. Please tune in every Sunday morning at 11 a.m. for CCTA Wake Up Call.